I'd like to thank my guest, John Owens. He's with Abbott EMS. He's joining us this morning. First off, John, it's good to see you.
Good morning, Tom.
In the matter of disclosure, we have to discuss that, you know, John worked here at the River Radio Group for a good period of time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He still sounds like a radio announcer, which has got to come in handy, Jeff, when you're on the radios at the fire department.
That's true. You know, he does have a face for radio also.
I've noticed that as well. I've got a hairline for radio, so it all works out. Jeff Coleman is still here in the studio with us, too, and he's with the Benton Fire Department. CPR trainer.
Yes, I am.
You know, John and I have known each other for a long time, and here's the thing, guys. We see a tragedy like last night's bombing at Manchester. There are big ones, and there are little ones. 22 people dead. Or it could be a three-year-old at a poolside because a Memorial Day party has gone wrong. And everything in between. This EMT week. It's going on
National
this week,
EMS
right?
EMS week, yes.
Right, EMS Emergency Services Week. An opportunity to learn how to do CPR. Did I get this right? It's kind of a baseline CPR training, right?
Absolutely. The CPR, there's compressions along with ventilations, but what we're going to teach tomorrow at the Benton Fire Station is hands-only CPR, compressions only. That way anybody can learn this. And as Jeff will talk about here in a little bit on the CPR training, this is only going to take you a minute to 3 minutes to learn this, and you will be able to save somebody's life with hands-only compressions.
And here's the why, Jeff, because a lot of times if you watch a movie or TV program and you watch somebody doing chest compressions, the first thing professionals like you going, well, he just broke about four of his ribs.
Well, that's true, Tom. You know, we do have a lot of people that do have broken ribs. You know, the older the person is, more likely it is we're breaking ribs.
Or younger.
Or the younger the person, we're hitting cartilages pop, and babies, when we do CPR on them, their bones bend.
Right.
So, but yeah, we do hear about that, the breaking ribs.
All right, because there's when it comes to this, you see people jump up on and just start pumping on somebody's chest. There are different ways to do this, depending on the age, for instance. I mean, for a young child, you use fingers, not your entire palm pressing down. But this is the type of thing you're going to be covering tomorrow for free for anyone who wants to come.
Correct. That's right, Tom. You know, when we're doing CPR on a victim, that person's not breathing. Their heart's not working right. Our job is to try to bring that victim back. You know, they're technically dead. We're trying to bring them back, and by helping them out, by pushing on their chest, pushing fast, pushing hard, we're trying to get that heart moving and trying to get that blood out of the heart and into other parts of the body.
But don't you also get some type of air work done, too, when you're doing these compressions? You're getting chest compressions. Is it just heart, or you get at least some work out of the lungs in the process, too, for oxygenation of the blood?
Well, in 2008, the American Heart Association started the working the hands-only CPR. That's keeping people away from doing the mouth-to-mouth because people had the stigma of having to put their lips on some stranger.
Well, here's the thing. Having lived with someone who is a nurse and who has done this type of thing before, I don't even want to get into the stories. Right? I mean, I really do not want to even get into stories, and everybody in the ER has probably got one. That's why now, and you've seen this depicted in the media, where now you saw this dramatic mouth-to-mouth. More and more you see the bag being used, and with good reason, Jeff.
Absolutely. You know, everybody's afraid of the big bad bugs out there. And with doing the hands-only CPR, we're actually having more people stop to help victims because they were afraid to put their mouth on somebody.
Yeah, and then there's throwing up.
That's correct.
And Tom, that's one of the...
Not to be too visceral, but there's a reason why you exercise some caution when it comes to doing this as well, because you're no good if you're disabled because of the incident.
Correct.
Absolutely. And I said, what I was going to say was this is one of the biggest pushes that we've got right now for teaching the hands only, because the key to survival of a cardiac event, such as cardiac arrest, is early compressions. That's going to circulate that oxygen-filled blood through the body, keep the brain going, keep the heart tissues alive. Compressions only will save lives. It's a proven fact.
And what we've seen here now is, you know, these terms that get floated around, depending on the type of injury or incident, the golden hour, the golden minutes. And that's coming up more golden minutes when you start earlier. All right, when it comes to this tomorrow, what's the times tomorrow at the Benton Fire Station?
The time, we're going to start at 12 noon tomorrow, and we'll go all the way up until 6 p.m. or until the last person is finished. So if we have somebody that shows up at 6 and they want to learn this, we're going to teach it.
What I've seen is, you know, a lot of my friends who work on road construction, like for E.T. Simons, they're required to go get CPR classes. You know, school teachers, yeah, mm-hmm. Right? I mean, who would you like to see tomorrow, if whether profession, maybe somebody from the church? I mean, literally, who are you thinking about?
I think anybody that works in the public sector, period. If you work in retail, if you work in the education system, if you work in the court systems, if you
work at a restaurant,
if you work in a public place,
yeah,
you should learn hands-only CPR.
Is this basically the health equivalent of learning how to change a tire?
Yes.
I mean, when you think about it, should be common knowledge to a certain extent, shouldn't it?
It should be. I mean, John was hitting on some of the people we want to see at the firehouse, but I want to see even kids there, because there's a lot of kids that's actually saved grandma, grandpa,
right,
or mom and dad.
Yeah. The one thing that I find interesting about this that I find very often goes unappreciated is how physically demanding this is if you have to keep this up. I ran into an incident a number of years ago where nobody else knew what was going on here when it came to CPR. And the first thing I was thinking was, oh, we've been here 30 minutes. No, it's been three. It's exhausting, and I didn't anticipate that.
It's very physically demanding because you're going to work muscles you didn't even know you had when you're doing compressions on a victim.
And it's relentless.
Absolutely. And it's a repetitious motion that you're going to be doing. Several days ago, I did this myself on a call where 2 days later, I'm still sore after it because it's you're putting everything you have into this because you're wanting a fighting chance for your patient.
An emotional component there, too.
Absolutely.
And the first thing you think, and one of these things, I'm hoping that you can switch off.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's one of the things that you'll be teaching tomorrow. How long do you think, if you and I, right now, we had Andy, the android down here on the floor, which is a test dummy, how long would it take you to teach me what I need to know?
Probably just a few minutes.
Yeah, give me we're talking 10, we're talking 5, what are we talking
probably
about?
Probably less than 10 minutes. You wouldn't be certified able to do it, but you would be trained enough to try to save
that
life.
If I'm hunting with my friend and he goes down, I can give him chest compressions.
Absolutely.
This happened to a friend of mine, Jim Casey, a number of years back in White County. He went down with a heart attack in the woods. Nobody knew where he was.
Right.
Right? You wish you're there when things like this happen. And I was with his son. We got the phone calls like, because nobody else can find him. Long ways from Jackson County to White County to find a guy in a field.
But
you want somebody there, man.
Absolutely. One of the key things we want to stress to people is the hands-only CPR that we'll be teaching tomorrow. Once you've learned this and you stop to help somebody, whether you're driving by and see an event that occurs or you're in a restaurant or wherever you're at and you see this, you're covered under the Good Samaritan Act, okay? So you have no liability or repercussions from helping a person.
That's important.
This. Absolutely.
A lot of people are afraid of that liability, that if I make a mistake or it's believed that I make a mistake because there are bad outcomes and people react badly to them. I know because I've had bad outcomes. you're just being honest here. If there's a misconception, Jeff, about CPR and how to do it, what would you think it is? What, with your experience with people?
Am I pushing too hard or am I pushing fast enough?
All right. That's where BG Staying Alive comes in.
Absolutely.
Because everybody's heard the song, like it or not, you get the rhythm. And, you know, it's interesting when they made that change a few years back. My first thought is, oh, come on, it's got to be something besides the Bee Gees, right? But, you know, once you think about it, the Staying Alive, it worked. It stuck in my head.
Absolutely. That was the biggest point the American Heart Association wanted to make, is it's a song that everybody knows.
Yeah, and that way, Staying Alive. Yeah.
And it's keeping it roughly 120 beats a minute, which is what the American Heart Association recommends.
All right, so when I have my first heart attack, John, and you come, I'm hoping there will be more than one, just don't sing the song to me. Deal? Jeff, we got a deal?
Absolutely.
Here? Absolutely. Good. Don't sing Staying Alive, because quite frankly, you're doing that, I'm going to want to go. There's the light at the end of the tunnel, and please take me there quickly. So, but if you do, you know, you can pick a good song, right? Is there a good Rush song or Led Zeppelin you guys can sing during this?
There's several.
They're working on this.
There's some good Queen songs out there, too.
Okay, good. Sheer Heart Attack would be the one then.